You know, as much as we all like drama and excitement, I think most of us would agree that there are two things that we would not like to see in our hometown. We would not like to see Jim Cantore come, because that means horrible weather that is like beyond the pale is coming our way. And we don't really want we don't really like the thought of seeing 60 Minutes come to visit our hometown. And we had that experience once in my little hometown of Clinton, Illinois. 60 Minutes came to visit our power plant construction site. And their report showed that the union workers, there were three shifts of union workers building this construction or this plant. The first crew would build something, the second crew would tear it down, and the third crew would build it again so that they could have more hours and more money in their paychecks and extend the job. It seems not much building was going on except in their paychecks. Now, it seems obvious in this context of a construction project that you cannot progress in building something lasting if you continue to tear it down. That seems pretty clear. But if it is clear about construction projects, why don't we understand the same precept with regard to building the kingdom of God? Why don't we understand that a cycle of building up but then tearing down makes no progress except in ourselves and our own agendas? I'm sad to say that our culture embraces often with glee the tearing down of other people, other political views, other faiths. And then we wonder why the presence of our loving God seems to have so little impact on our mean and violent world. It has gotten pretty bad in terms of the polarization and the venom that can be out there just in regular culture. I was just appalled to read the other day that there is a dating service, an online dating service, that is called Hater, H-A-T-E-R, Hater. The magazine article I read about it says this: dubbed Hater, the new service is based on research showing people are more inclined to bond over shared negative opinions than over likes. Like, oh, I love this guy. He hates the same things I do. Maybe that's what I've been doing wrong all these days. I don't know. But there is a more elegant way of saying this. In the movie Luther, which is about Martin Luther, the teacher tells Martin Luther, "We hate the evil more than we love the good." The willingness to hate and then to share hate with others like a contagion means that we stop building and we start to destroy. Make no mistake about it, it is nothing less than destruction, and it should be anathema to the Christian. I'm not saying that we should go along with a course of action or a school of thought that we feel are unjust or hurtful. We can disagree. But when we do push back about what we perceive to be wrong, we have to push back and resist in ways that do not destroy other people. So with all this destructive mindset in our culture, how do we individually and as a church family, how do we resist the role of destroyer? How do we resist taking on these things that build up our own egos but impede the coming of the kingdom of God? How do we build up instead of tearing down? We love other people as relentlessly and unwaveringly as God loves us. All people, even the most unlovely. Matthew's gospel today says, "Love your enemies."
For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Some of us, admittedly, are remarkably easy to love. Some of them, not so much. But if you don't try to love the people who would hurt you or who have different viewpoints than you do, we're not going to make any progress in building up the kingdom. We would simply maintain our own place or lifestyle or comfort zone or agenda, but we wouldn't make any progress. So we have to ask, and this is hard, do we want to be loving human beings, aka Christians, or not? It's hard to love the unlovable. We can't pull it off consistently. But if we don't try consistently to do it, we resign ourselves to a cycle of building up and then tearing down and getting nowhere. We are to love all persons, the poor, the refugees, the political opponents, even those who would hurt us. Jesus on the cross forgave those who were torturing him and killing him. And he said, love your enemies. It's the only way to progress in building something different and eternal and transformative. When we speak of enemies in our culture today, we usually mean people who disagree with us, who have hurt our feelings, who have harmed our business interests, maybe who have marginalized someone we love. But when Jesus spoke to his listeners of their enemies, he was talking about people who would kill them, oppress them, enslave them. Even so, this work we have to do in our safe little life is a difficult choice. To live this life of building up is hard work. I have to do more than to be a nice person, a passive presence. I have to actively seek out ways to build, even with people who madden me or frighten me or incense me. I have had a lot of disquiet in my own spiritual life lately. You get in these cycles, at least I do, of sometimes feeling beat up and frustrated and just, not sure what to do next. And so I ordered something to help me in my meditation and prayer life. It's called a Tibetan singing bowl. I don't know if you've seen these. They have a tone that is very quieting and reassuring. Mine doesn't sing yet. It just hums because I don't know how to use it exactly. I guess it doesn't know the words yet. But it has these wonderful, comforting tones to it to help me clear the destructive noise out of my head. And it helps. The coolest thing about it is when I ordered it through Amazon, as I always order everything, the company sends you an email, and I love this. It's not just, here, buy more of our stuff. It's, while your Tibetan singing bowl is on its way to you, let us let you think about these things. And it gives a mantra that you can keep in your mind. It says this: I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I thought, well, I don't need the bowl if I'm going to think that way. I could pull that off. I wouldn't have had to order anything. But think about those words. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Such words, if we practice them until we mean them, ensure that we continue to build up instead of tearing down. It's much easier to one-up someone, to denigrate them, to criticize, to hold grudges. It's easier to push others aside for our own benefit and let them take care of themselves. It's easier to pull down that work that has been built to improve our own status or position. After all, if I keep turning the other cheek, I will keep getting hit. If I love my enemies, I will be further victimized. Sure, I want to love, but I want to be self-reliant and strong. I want to be admired by our culture. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. But we protest that they're not going to play by those rules. God knows that. Remember last week's gospel? But I say to you, love your enemies. Only then does the building go on and on for a different kind of kingdom. We protest that we can't live that way, allowing others to abuse us and oppress us. But we carry that desire for strength too far when we would rather be white than to take the time and the effort and the humility to be in relationship with another person. But I say to you, Jesus tells us, setting a higher standard. Our human instinct is to love, well, the people we love. But Jesus says, love your enemies. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. The scripture says, you do this. The Hebrew text of Leviticus 19 is a mixture of singular verbs and plural verbs. You do this. Individuals are part of communities, but those individuals become moral agents who are catalysts for good or evil within the community. So these commandments say you, individually and collectively, you do this. It's a lot easier and a lot less troubling to see words like holy and holiness, these things that you are supposed to do, and think of people who are far removed from us in time and space and circumstances and, in my case, temperament. But we are called, each of us individually and all of us together, to do better. To begin the foundation, or if another worker has already begun it, to continue to build it rather than tearing down. We are Christians, we're called to be the builders, always the builders, never destroyers. Even if that destruction would protect us or exalt us or reward us, we are to always build and never tear down. Someone has to stop the cycle of destruction to further the building of the kingdom of God. Someone. How about me? How about you? Why don't we start here?